Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we begin, let me ask, do you pray? And when you pray, what is the content of your prayers? What do you pray about? You are probably thinking what I am thinking. There is so much to pray about. Many of us make prayer lists for this very purpose. Daily and hour by hour, we are bringing to the throne room of God our praise and adoration and worship. And we are bringing our joys and triumphs, as well as our sadnesses, losses, defeats, troubles, and afflictions. Dear friend, how awesome is it that our Lord and our God invites us to pray? And Jesus Christ has made it so we can enter the very throne room of God and make our petitions there. And if we come obediently, reverently, in faith, and expectation He will answer, when we come through the person of His Son, Jesus, God Himself promises to hear and answer our prayers. This is such a great gift to Christians and one we cherish and make time for in our lives. Well, what do you pray about? One of the many comforts I have found in praying is that in the morning hours when I pray best, what I am doing is working things out before my Heavenly Father. Part of what I do is bring Him my problems. These are a range of issues I cannot work out on my own. Recently, this has been a pestering worry and anxiety. Throughout the day, I find myself getting burdened by this load, and I go over there to the couch in my study and plop down and just pray. I am asking the Lord to lift this from me, to give me wisdom to know how to handle it His way. And as I petition Him, I do genuinely find myself more peaceful. Thus far, the problem has not been solved, but my confidence in Christ being the one who will bring resolution makes me joyful and happy. Let me put it this way: prayer works. On this point, let's ask, when we pray, do we pray for government authorities who have rule over us? Do we pray for the president and vice president, our senators and representatives, our governor, and our state and local officials whom God has put in power for this season? Do we? And someone says, oh yes, Pastor Mark, I just love the president and I pray for him all the time. He's doing such good for our country and his enemies are out to destroy him, and so I pray for him. Right. So you pray for the president when you like who the president is. But let me ask you this. Do you pray for the man or woman who is president when you do not vote for that person and do not particularly like them? When someone who holds office appears to be good and you like them and their policies, it is easier to pray for such a man or woman. But when those who hold office appear evil and you do not like them and their policies, do you still pray for these government authorities? If you are honest, I think you will agree, that's much harder to do. In the state in which I live, Massachusetts, the current governor is a lesbian who has a domestic partnership, they call it, with another woman. And together they promote abortions, transgenderism, and surgeries for kids to transition from one gender to the other, as well as the LGBTQ+ lifestyle, of course. Much of her rhetoric and action is anti-God and anti-Christian. She is no fan of believers, even while claiming to be a Catholic. And this woman has great political aspirations. She hopes to serve in a National Democrat administration in the future, if not be president herself. Well, quite frankly, I find it hard to pray for this governor. I am being honest. Nevertheless, as a Bible-believing, Bible-living Christian, I am commanded to pray for her and for all who have governmental authority over me. This is your command too, believers. Where is that command? Well, first, it is here in the Sermon on the Mount in our texts. Matthew 5, verses 43 and 44, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And Luke 6:28, "Pray for those who mistreat you." Brothers and sisters, we have every reason to believe the direction of this country, the United States of America, is an evil direction. We are becoming more pagan by the day, not less so. And part of this will inevitably be persecution of Christians. If you are observant, you know this is already beginning in some subtle and some not so subtle ways. And at some point, this will break out into the open, and Christians here, like our fellow Christians all over the world, will face punishment for being the people of the living God. There are many different forms of persecution, but I will not be surprised if we encounter the worst kind. We will have to see what God's will is for us. Very, very interestingly, Jesus' response to persecution is what? Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for political rulers who are hostile to God and his people. Yes, the Son of God commands us to pray for them, so that whatever I am praying about on my couch, I am to pray for the governor of Massachusetts, a woman I certainly did not vote for, will never vote for, and a person who stands in direct contradiction to what I believe is good and right and true. And I am to pray for others like her, those who have authority to rule and govern us from the president on down. And it is not strange to pray for evil rulers. Listen as I read from the Apostle Paul's first letter to Timothy. This is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, and just the first part of verse 2. 1 Timothy 2, beginning in verse 1. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority." Let's pause the reading there. Note that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to Pastor Timothy, who was serving the church in Ephesus. Ah, ancient Ephesus. That was quite the place, the ruins of which we can still visit today, as I have done, as many of us have done. Ephesus belonged to Rome at this time, and the Roman emperor was Nero. And if you know anything about Nero, then you know he was an evil man. In his sovereign wisdom and design, God put Nero as emperor. And Paul says, pray for kings and all who are in authority, obviously including Nero. Just imagine being the Ephesian Christians reading this in the apostle's letter. Nero, the cruel tyrant and persecutor of Christians? Nero, who killed his wife, his mother, and his stepbrother? And when a great fire broke out in Rome in July of 64 AD, Nero, who may have said it himself, blamed the Christians, many of whom were tortured to death. Let me quote from the historian Tacitus as he describes treatment of the early Christians by Nero. "Covered with the skins of beasts, Christians were torn by dogs and perished, or were nailed to crosses, or were doomed to the flames and burnt to serve as nightly illumination when daylight had expired." Well, you heard that correctly. Christians were lit on fire to provide light to Emperor Nero's nighttime events. This, and yet we read Paul saying, pray for the man. Pray for Nero. Where did Paul get this idea from? Yes, Paul took his theology and practice from Jesus Christ. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who mistreat you. The point is, so many of us are worried and truly fearful for the direction of the country. We remember an America that was once at least somewhat godly. We remember a time when the things the governor of Massachusetts promotes were not even thought of. Just a few years ago, let alone decades ago, well within our lifetimes, we would be shocked to hear about men in women's locker rooms and on women's sports teams. We would have said, no way, to children being mutilated as they transition into another gender. We could never have believed drag queens would host story time at the public library. But here we are, and this is not going away, barring a national spiritual revival that only God can send. Too often our response to this evil being unleashed in our society, too frequently our response to politicians who promote this and form laws to affirm this behavior, our response is to become bitter, angry, resentful, and dismayed. We want to fight back, and sometimes we get so discouraged we just want to throw our hands up in the air and say, America is lost. So let me get back to my favorite TV program and keep scrolling through social media while I eat my dinner in peace. But none of these are appropriate responses, says the Bible. What are we to do about this morass we find ourselves in? We are to pray. And what exactly are we to pray for? What is the content of our prayers? And specifically, sticking to the theme of our series, what do we ask God for regarding kings and all who are in authority? How do we pray for those who persecute us? The Bible answers, and next time I want to talk about this. Will you be with us? Will you invite someone who needs to hear this to join us? Please do so. Send them a text or email or call or visit them and say, get the God Is podcast, or turn on your radio at this time on this station. Let's continue to pass along what we learn to others to encourage them. What is our attitude to be at the time of the election? Well, more next time on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.